Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here. Yes, they haven't got rid of me just yet. And as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you to this episode of Just a Minute. Introducing you now to the four marvellous, talented and delightful people who are going to be playing the game this week. They are Ian Smith, Charlotte Ritchie, Zoe Lyons and Tony Hawks. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. I'm going to ask them, no surprises, to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Best of luck to all of you. And we're going to start with you, Ian. This subject is, oh, I like it, it's getting it started on the dance floor. You can tell that was written by somebody who works for Radio 4. Getting it started on the dance floor. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on getting it started on the dance floor, starting now?
Getting it started on the dance floor is something I do every single time I'm at a club. I'm on there first, beckoning people towards me, saying, follow my lead and do what I am doing. Because nobody dances like I do. I've been getting it started on the dance floor since I was a young child, not always with moves. For example, once I started urinating on the dance floor when I was about 6 years old. There is no doubt that I was getting it started on the dance floor, but what I was doing was getting my own wee all over the floor and making it difficult for other people to get it started on the dance floor. The only person who was getting it started on the dance floor was the cleaning staff, who were getting started on the operation to rid that performance space of joy of my...
It's like all the Christmases come at once when someone gets a minute. It makes me the happiest, happiest of people. And well done, Ian. You smashed that, my darling. You get a point for speaking as the whistle went, yeah. And you get that extra bonus point for doing it. Just on your Todd. That was absolutely wonderful. What a way to start the show. Charlotte, the challenge of a typist, this one, your subject is words per minute. What can you tell us on that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
I wonder how many words I can fit into a minute if I speak really, really fast. I could go through the alphabet.
Tony.
Not many.
I mean, it's an interesting gambit, that.
Thought I'd give it a go.
Absolutely. Why smashed not? It in the 4 seconds that you spoke. before. Tony, you're a pig of a man, but you're correct within the rules in just a minute.
Yeah, repetition of really.
Yeah, well done. You get the subject, which, to remind you, is words per minute. What can you tell us on that in 56 seconds, starting now?
I wonder how many words I can fit in a minute if I talk incredibly fast, but I'm not going to do that because that would have been taking somebody...
Ian.
I'm not going to do that because that... Repetition.
Wow.
It's turned into panties.
I was going to say, exactly that, yes. Ooh.
Where's your minute, Tony? Rules. It's behind you.
Or is that too small a word?
No, I think that's absolutely fine. Tony is a very experienced player of the game and we have to hold him to slightly higher account. What I'm enjoying is this is series 94 of Just a Minute and the idea that repetition might form part of the rules still elicits a... Ooh. It was a correct challenge. You've got... Ooh, 50 seconds.
That long?
That long, yeah.
Oh, you've just done a bloody minute. It's easy for you. Go on. Let's see how good you are this time, Ian Face.
It's words per minute, and your time starts now.
I can do a lot more words per minute when I talk slowly, but this would obviously be unacceptable for a receptionist, who are often judged on their words per minute. Although in the olden days, receptionists...
Charlotte, you buzzed.
Repetition of receptionists.
It was receptionist and receptionist.
Yes, thank you, Sue. I was just about to
Wait,
say that.
Are you sure?
Was it?
It's... Thank you
for the affirmation.
Whose side are you on? No,
yeah.
Fair.
I mean, it's easily done, but you keep the subject, Ian. So it's back with you with 34 seconds remaining. Words per minute starting now.
An example of someone who says a lot more words per minute would be a sports commentator. A racehorse person who is talking about what's going on in the...
Tony.
What is a racehorse person?
I think it's a centaur.
It's a sort of catch-all. So a lot of people will judge the horse as being the sort of, oh, really, it was a horse that won the race. Mm. Really, it was the jockey skill. I call a racehorse person with hyphens in between because I judge it as the unit.
Wow.
So I would say there's a lot of racehorse people competing in the Grand National.
You want to get out more, that's where you...
I was happy with that because for me you were just trying to avoid repetition and that was your workaround and I'm okay with that. I know it's disappointed you, Tony, but you know that's not the first time I've done that to you.
No.
So 23 seconds remaining. It's back with you, Ian. The subject is words per minute and your time starts now.
Someone who would say less words per minute, though, would...
Oh, that made me unwell, Tony.
Fewer.
Thank you.
Is it deviation, hesitation?
There'll be no further comment. It is inaccurate grammar, and it makes me unwell. And it might not fall within the rules of just a minute, but I don't care. Tony, you've got the points.
Oh, I'm going to get so much fewer points now.
It doesn't fall within the rules of... it does, actually. It's deviation from grammar. So, Tony, you've got the point. So, 19 seconds, Tony. Your time starts now.
I once knew a racehorse person who could fit so many words into a minute, it was ridiculous. He would look at the horses racing around and again, and he would pack those words in like there was no tomorrow. He was a very impressive figure in many ways, although I didn't know...
Tony was speaking as the whistle went, gains the point. And Tony, we're next with you. Your subject is, on the card, slow and steady wins the race. Let's see what the racehorse people have got to say about that. Your time starts now.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Zoe.
Hesitation.
It was worth a try, I thought. It was worth a try. I think we'll see how he goes on. Let's see. An incorrect challenge, I'm going to say. Tony, you get it back. 53 seconds, starting now.
Ian made the point not that long ago that he could get more words per minute if he went at a slow and steady pace. And yet he still used the words racehorse person in order to try and get to that 60 seconds. It made me bitter. Twisted. I've not forgotten it, and I'm going to stick with talking about it for as long as possible before it becomes deviation. So I need to stop right now.
Charlotte.
Repetition of stop?
Yes, repetition of stop. Which means you get the subject, which is slow and steady wins the race. You've got 27 seconds. Your time starts now.
The famous story of the tortoise and the hare. Two beautiful animals, both with interesting attributes. The hare, of course. Yeah.
I was all in for the story of the hare and tortoise until it became, Zoe...
Two hares.
Yeah. 16 seconds remaining, and your time starts now.
Slow and steady wins the race has been my motto in life for a very, very long time.
Tony.
Yes, there was a repetition of very.
Yes. And with 11 seconds remaining, let's hear what you've got to say again on Slow and Steady Wins the Race, starting now.
I have a very peaceful, patient disposition, which is a huge advantage. Sometimes there are arguments going on and people trying to fire words off at great speed. I remain calm. Let's...
Tony was speaking as the whistle went. He gets the point, and that's the end of the round. Let's see how we're doing score-wise. In fourth place, Charlotte. In second place, we've got... It's a tie, it's a dead heat with Zoe and Ian. And slightly ahead, Mr. Tony Hawkes. Ian, we are right back with you again, my friend. And the subject is the tallest in my class. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating on that subject? The tallest in my class, starting now.
I wish I was the tallest in my class at school, but alas, I was quite a short boy. The tallest in my class was a person called Tony, and they were so tall, the teacher would ask them to change light bulbs, thus asking the question, how many students does it take to change a lighting device? And the answer is one single one of those young people in education by the name of
That was a challenge from Tony.
Hesitation. I think he's learned that you can't tell gags in just a minute, really, can you? They invariably have repetitions all the way through them, don't they? That's the trouble.
Yeah, that was tough. You could have gone for Anthony, but it's hard in the moment. It's really, really hard. 29 seconds. It's a correct challenge. What can I say, Tony? You get the subject, which, to remind you, is the tallest in my class, starting now.
The tallest in my class was Mark Fincham, slowly followed by Philip Morash. Now, isn't it amazing that I can remember that, but not what I did yesterday afternoon? That is the extraordinary thing about the memory. Now, this boy, whose name I can't say again, was so tall he bumped his head sometimes when he went through doors. Not that he was 6'3", but he would jump in the air because he wanted to seem like one of the footballers.
Well done, Tony. Spoke as the whistle went, gets the point. And Charlotte, we're with you next. Now, your subject is my driving instructor. 60 seconds on my driving instructor. Not on my driving instructor, but... You've got 60 seconds to tell us about my driving instructor, starting now.
My driving instructor was a hybrid situation between an official person who was instructing me on driving and my father. My dad took me for as many lessons as he could handle before he passed me on to an actual professional. What that means is my driving skills are pretty rough and ready. There's a lot of driving with one hand whilst talking outrageously, flapping the other one of these long-fingered parts of my body. I also have found myself reversing down one road near my house, which is extremely narrow, but my relative, who is married to my mum, encourages me to go down that little alleyway as fast as I possibly can.
Amazing. Charlotte, you spoke for the full minute. You get a bonus point. And of course, you're speaking as the whistle went, which means you get that point as well. Well done. That was amazing. Right, Zoe, we are with you next, my lovely. And your subject is keepy uppies.
Oh, God.
Keepy uppies. You've got 60 seconds on that subject. Your time starts now.
Keepy uppies is very much like the premise of Just a Minute. You take a topic and you have to keep it in the air with as little effort as possible, making it look like an athletic achievement. Keepy uppies is something that I was never particularly good at as a child because we didn't have a football, so it made it a lot harder. But I did have a very active imagination, so I was able to conjure up images of said round thing and pretend that I was doing keepy uppies in my garden. I don't really understand the importance of keepy uppies because surely the idea of soccer is to get the spherical being thing from your foot into a goal type area, thus scoring and improving and enhancing the movement of the team forward in some sort of league, not just retaining that piece of sporting equipment to...
Oh. I can't believe I just did that after...
Charlotte, you challenged.
I challenged as a hesitation.
It was a tiny hesitation.
It was a tiny hesitation. What have I become?
Because you've got bloodlust now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It changes you, this game, Charlotte. It changes you.
I was so looking forward to another four ways of describing a football.
I was very much reaching the limit of my... sporting equipment terminology.
Well, you only had another 9 seconds to go and you would have done that. But listen, it was a correct challenge. It was a little bit of hesitation. So 9 seconds, it's all yours. Keepy uppies. And your time starts now.
Keepy uppies are a skill that has evaded me. I began doing keepy uppies on my birthday when I had an audition for...
Charlotte, speaking as the whistle went, means that Charlotte gets the point. Well done, that's how it works. And that's the end of that round. Let's have a look at where the scores lie. In joint third place, we've got Zoe and Ian. In second place, we've got Charlotte. And still slightly ahead of the pack, we've got Tony Hawks. Ian, I love this for you. Your subject is preferred socks. Will you tell us about preferred socks? Do you have them? We'll find out. Your 60 seconds begins now.
Well, actually, this is an ideal subject for me because my preferred socks are quite unique and confuse a lot of people because I wear two pairs of socks at almost all times. I wear an ankle variety.
Tony.
Were there two wares?
There were a couple of wares. Yes, there were. That was indeed repetition. You get the subject of preferred socks. 42 seconds. Your time starts now.
My preferred socks are odd socks. They're not different. They're just weird shape. And I put them on Thursdays.
Charlotte.
Put them on.
Yes, good
point. I mean, it's tough, but you've really changed, haven't you? I mean, talk about turning on a sixpence. It's been a matter of moments.
It's success. It goes to your head.
It wasn't your best work, I would say. And I would have to agree. As we know, we don't normally sweat the small words, but when they come hard and fast, one on top of the other, it's a correct challenge.
Poor work.
And yes, you get the subject with 32 seconds remaining on preferred socks. Who knew there was so much to say about that? Your time starts now.
There's something about a person who is insistent on wearing matching socks that makes me very suspicious. To me, the chaos of my sock drawer is something that brings me great joy in the morning. What might it be on my right foot? Perhaps a...
Ian.
There was a slight...
Yeah, there was a little trailing off. You know, normally with players who've just started out, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Charlotte has ascended so quickly, I feel we have to treat her like a seasoned expert. And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Ian, and you get the subject. 13 seconds remain on preferred socks. It's back with you. Bring it home, my friend. Your time starts now.
My preferred socks are days of the week socks. So I will wear Monday socks.
Tony.
Repetition of where?
Oh. From the past.
Yes, from in the past. It works like that, yeah.
I forgot about the past. Some people live in the moments, other people dwell on the past. And I guess I'm just, very bad at this game.
But anyway, Tony has been listening. Hawk by name, hawk by nature. 7 seconds remain, and your time only starts now.
My preferred socks are currently in Sheffield. I took them there by train. Nobody knows why, especially me.
Tony was speaking as whistle went, gets the point. And Charlotte, you get the next subject, which is kindred spirits. Can you tell us about kindred spirits in 60 seconds? Your time starts now.
Kindred spirits are people you meet in life who ignite something in you that feels familiar and has the sensation of being almost eternal. Many people spend their lives looking for kindred spirits. Often they feel lumped with lots of people who...
Sorry.
I think there were two people.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, there were.
Yep.
Yes, there were.
Yeah.
You can't repeat words, Charlotte.
You can't. It's really edging up the tension this episode, isn't it?
Really
it's great.
Is.
Can we combine just a minute with sort of cage fighting or something? I think that would bring a new audience to Radio 4.
Unfortunately, MMA is a repetition, so we can't. So Zoe, that's a correct challenge. You get the subject with 37 seconds on Kindred Spirit starts now.
When I was a young teenager, I had a best friend called Alison and we were kindred spirits. We would sit in her bedroom of an evening listening to the best 80s music on the radio, the Hit Parade blaring out. We loved exactly the same sort of music, so we...
Ian, you buzzed.
I think it was music on the radio and then favourite music again.
It was a correct challenge, Ian. 18 seconds on Kindred Spirits. Your time starts now.
Perhaps weirdly, I feel my Kindred Spirits are on the Kinder packaging of those chocolate eggs. The smiling, Aryan-looking young boys on the material around that confectionery remind myself of me and my happy disposition that I carry around at all times.
You got the all-valuable point there. Well done. And Zoe, this one's for you. Oh. The turning of the tide.
Hi.
What can you tell us about the turning of the tide, my love, starting now?
I am lucky enough to live on the South Coast, so I can witness the turning of the tide twice a day. I will don my knitted Victorian swimsuit.
Ian.
If you're witnessing the turning of the tides twice a day, you're repeating...
Well, essentially, Mother Earth is repeating.
Mm. Yeah.
I find her harder to call to account within the rules of just a minute.
OK.
I mean, what is evolution other than a form of deviation?
Oh. Yes, well...
Oh, that's very clever.
It's like Halley's Comet for me. It's about once every 28 years I'll say something that sounds profound, but if you actually interrogate it, it's bullshit. I like it, Ian, and I'm going to give you a point for it.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm not going to let you have the subject, because I like the conceit. As I say, we can't call Mother Nature to account on that. And so Zoe was correct within the rules of just a minute. So 50 seconds. You keep the subject, Zoe. It's the turning of the tide. Let's have it.
Brighton Beach is famous for its pebbles, which is the great leveller of man. People say that is death. It is not true. It is stones underfoot. And I will march down to the beach and stand there.
Tony!
Repetition of beach. Oh.
Yes, Tony, it is. You've done it again. Masterfully done. That's a correct challenge. 39 seconds on the turning of the tide. Starting now.
An audience can be with you, but they can turn just like the tide if you tell too many anecdotes that don't go anywhere. I'm hoping it won't happen tonight and that they will stay with me on this particular story. Pull yourselves up a chair. I was on the beach, not far from Brighton, Littlehampton, in fact, and the tide...
Ian.
Well, OK, first thing, I heard the audience ooh and I thought, right, well, they must be onto something. If we're not allowed to repeat from what other people have said, then Brighton's been repeated.
You can take over other people's words, but you can't repeat something you've said in a previous iteration of the subject.
Oh, someone has to explain shows to me before I come on. Also, what can I just say to the audience? Please don't ooh, because I will absolutely jump on top of that. And...
incorrect challenge, which means you keep the subject. 15 seconds remaining. Tony, and your time starts now.
There are spring tides and neap tides, and I've never known which ones are bigger, but I do like going to the Mediterranean where the tides are so minimal it doesn't ruin your day. You don't take a boat out and then find it's on mud and dive off it. Not there, not in the Greek islands. No.
Well, sadly, we're now entering the final round. Don't do, Ian will be on you. Yes, Ian. You're almost onto something there.
Yeah.
Tony, we're going to end with you, my lovely. And this is a great one to go out with. Hay fever. Tony, what can you tell us in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on hay fever, starting now?
I've played tennis with a man called John Fever, who some of you may remember. He holds the record for the most number of aces served at Wimbledon for quite some time. Anyway, when I see him, I say, "Hey, Fever, do you fancy a game of tennis?" Oh.
Ian. Tennis.
Yes.
Ian, you are getting better at remembering things from the past.
Yes.
You've got a point for a correct challenge. And you've got the subject for 43 seconds. Hay fever. Your time starts now.
Hay fever has some miserable symptoms. The ones that I get are running water from my eyes. People will call them tears. They can do what they want. I just call it the liquid that comes out of my peepers. Another thing that happens to me is my nose starts to run with mucus, I believe. I haven't had that checked up by a doctor. Another thing that happens to me... Oh, yes.
Right, Zoe.
We had a couple of anothers. Another thing, another thing.
Oh, and thing,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a correct challenge, yeah.
Thing, yes.
Yeah, don't feel bad about it. That's the rules. And you get the subject with 14 seconds remaining. OK, hay fever. Tell us something about that in the time remaining, starting now.
Weirdly, I developed hay fever in my 40s, which I thought was quite odd, as it is a sort of childhood affliction, you would think.
Charlotte.
I thought it was a hesitation.
I mean, it was the merest of stumbles, wasn't it? Yeah. It was merest, though.
We're sort of at the end, though, right?
Breathing.
So it's fair to get in on that.
Listen. It's not the job for me to provide
you're
you
right.
your moral code.
You're 100% about that. You're right about that, Sue.
There was the slightest of stumbles. So, I mean, yeah, it's a correct challenge. I'm going to give it to you. 6 seconds remaining on hay fever. Your time, Charlotte, starts now.
Hay fever is an attack of pollen in...
Zoe.
Wow. It was the slightest of hesitations.
What? I'm going to give you that challenge because I suspect it won't be the last of it. With 2 seconds remaining, I think everyone will have a pop. So give it your best shot. Hay fever starting now.
Sneezing violently is one of the things that I do when I...
Well done. Oh, end of the game. Let's have a little look at the scores as they come in. Exciting, exciting, exciting. Oh, it's very, very close. In fourth place, just Zoe. In third, Charlotte. In second place, Ian, and slightly ahead. And thus, the winner of tonight's game, Mr. Tony Hawks. Sadly, we have to leave you there. First of all, thanks to the incredible players, to Ian Smith, Charlotte Ritchie, Zoe Lyons and Tony Hawks. We're indebted, of course, to Ian Messiter and to our wonderful Nicholas Parsons. And we thank Sarah Nichols, who's blown her whistle quite quietly and delicately this evening, for which my left lug hole thanks her. The producer was Rajiv Khari. It was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you ever so for listening to our silly show. And we'll see you next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.